Today on Real Life Radio.
The Lord is holding us accountable for what we hear and what we know. It has nothing to do with the messenger. It has to do with God the giver and we the receiver.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message called Do It Yourself. You know, the book of Luke is a book that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke, the physician, could do. Why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I say? You see, when we talk about building our lives, there's a danger of doing it yourself. Over time, what our house is built upon will come to light. Building a foundation on God may take time, but nothing will stand against it when it's built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when it comes to our lives, we need to build a life that stands the test of time. You know, it's really never easy when the storms of life rage against us, but even through the years of hardship, nothing will move us when we're following the Lord. Now, in his message called Do It Yourself, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
A home that is going to be worth living in, a home that is valuable, a home that goes beyond what it looks like in curb appeal. A strong, awesome home that will last will be a home that doesn't come easy. Any young people in here, any newly married people in here, listen up and suck it up. Can all the married people say amen to that? Suck it up, amen? Stop whining and listen. The sooner you break down your barriers of who's going to be in control and who's going to call the shots, listen, let Jesus call the shots while both of you obey him and your marriage will go great. But the moment you back up in the corner and you got your Everlast boxing gloves on and, oh, you know, she said, he said, and you wake up in the morning, you got your Olympic prize champion shorts on, dude, you're going down. She may not knock you out. Jesus will. He'll come and he'll humble you out. It doesn't come easy. A great home does not come easy. And that's true in the physical sense, and that's certainly true in the spiritual sense. How does anyone have a great home? Have you ever looked at someone's home and admired their home? It didn't come easy. Boy, if you knew the truth, it was years of struggle, years of difficulty, years of hardship. That's what made them strong. The storms didn't knock them over. They came close. They're like weebles. They wobble, but they don't fall down. It doesn't come easy. Often the do-it-yourself centers make it sound like you can build this and one day. My wife, Lisa, I can say this. I don't think she's here right now. Lisa will say, you know, oh, look at that commercial. Go down there and get one of those things and put it up. I get it. And isn't it up yet? Have you noticed that the do-it-yourself centers just make it sound so easy? You know what I have found out? I can go to the do-it-yourself center, I can do that myself, I can drive home myself, and I can call someone to do it myself. Yeah, can you come here and do it yourself so I can watch? That's how I found out it works. And you can call someone to do it for you, and that's Jesus only when it comes to building a home. It doesn't make it any easier to do it yourself mindset. To truly make something easier is to have Christ do it. 1 Corinthians 3:9, jot it down if you would, for the Bible says, for we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, Paul uses the word craftsman. I have laid the foundation, another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. I love that. There's nothing easy about it. Digging deep and laying a foundation on rock is hard. Laying your life down is a difficult thing, and it can stand the test of time and storm. There are lighthouses erected on the most precarious places on earth, but they don't get swept away. When have you heard of a lighthouse being washed away? The builders planned on making it forever. And they built it on something that was not going to move. Obviously, you and I live in Southern California, the earthquake capital of the world, and we have the strictest building codes in the nation here in California. In fact, get a load of this. You see these walls right here? Some of these walls in this structure that you're in, there's three buildings. This particular building, some of these walls are in totality 45 feet high. You see, there's not a 45-foot high wall. The walls are 45 feet high. A great portion of them are underground. Did you know that? I got to watch these walls go into the ground, and it's all earthquake designed. Now, I think that's crazy. They do the best they can, but let's be honest. When the ground moves big, it's going to hurt. But they do the best they can. According now, I have to tell you, the constructor of this building said this building will be able to handle I forget what it was, almost like a 10. Well, you know what? I know the truth about that. A 10 what? 10.0 where? Is it a 10.0 in San Francisco and it shakes down here? Or is it a 10.0 beneath our feet? That all depends on where you're at. Now watch this. You may appreciate this after I say so, but there is $1.8 million worth of concrete subterranean of these buildings. The three buildings that are here on this campus, $1.8 million of concrete you will never see. It's massive. The walls are connected to structures that are massive down there. $1.8 million of stuff you'll never see. Did they put it in? How are we going to know? Is it there? I saw it go in. I watched it. $1.8 million spent. Never to be seen. Frankly, if it's in the foundation, I don't want to see it now. Just let it be. That's okay, Lord. Let it stay. But the truth is, why would so much effort and so much money be put into the foundation? It's everything. It's what everything's built upon. You sit here in comfort. Why? There's a foundation. But it will never be known how strong it is until it shakes. Your family, your home can look great, but until there's a shaking, you'll never know. And I'm talking spiritual stuff, life stuff. I'm talking about hardship, difficulties. You'll never know. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another one builds on it. Let each one take heed how he builds. Listen, for no other foundation can anyone lay. We read that a moment ago, but watch what happens. Stay with me. Verse 12, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, that's great, but look, or wood, hay, and straw, or stubble, each one's work will be declared, for the day of God will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one of our works, whatsoever sort it is. There is an absolute truth about us building in our families and our lives. We'll get to that in a moment. What are we going to be building? Number two, it is this, a home that is built for life. Jesus said, and when the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently, that is with great violence, against that house, and it could not be shaken. Life's difficulties and hardships, they are the storms of life that rage against us. And listen, everyone will have storms. Listen, don't tune me out with this right now. Don't. Every one of us will have hardships. You say, well, Jack, my life hasn't had anything rough yet. Yet. Here's the thing. In life, it's going to get tough. Not only is the world just that way, but God knows the greatest way to drive truth into our lives, and there's no other way. Church, listen, you can be the greatest theologian that has ever lived, and all that means is you can answer all the questions on the test. A great theologian doesn't impress anyone. What impresses people is the sweet little lady from Pasadena who trusts in the Word of God and lives day in and day out through hardships and challenges. The Word of God is not theoretical. It is not theological. It is reality and it is life. How does that happen? By taking the Bible and the promises of God through your cancer, through your child's rebellion, through your marriage and the waves and the roughness of all that, through the difficulties of financial challenges and whatever might be going on, and starting a family and raising a home. How are you going to make it? By clinging onto the promises of God. And that separates the theoretical theologian from the practical disciple. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, that is difficulty, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Can someone say amen? Amen. Isn't that great news? Great, great news for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No one is exempt. No one gets out untouched in life's struggles, but you can make it through with Christ. Romans 5, verse 3. Romans 5, 3 says, and not only that, but we also glory in our difficulties, knowing that these difficulties produce perseverance, and perseverance our character, and character brings about hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So whenever there's a difficulty, are you going through a rough time? I can tell you this right now. You know what? You can rejoice in that difficulty. I know it doesn't feel good. You can rejoice in the difficulty because God is working within you perseverance. It's going to wind up strengthening your character. That's going to generate hope. And you are going to realize that God loves you even when it's dark, even when it's foreboding. And you'll come out on the other end so much stronger. Now, that presupposes this matters to us. And that's the danger of the age that you and I live in. We don't care about character. We don't care about hope. People don't care about character, so they rob, cheat, and steal. People don't care about hope because they can reach for a bottle or for a bunch of pills. Doctor themselves up. And that's not reality. The Word of God is absolute strength. Husband and wife, mom and dad, listen, together you're building a sanctuary at your address. You're building a sanctuary, mom and dad, husband and wife. You're building a hospital. You're building a health club, a racetrack, a castle, a classroom. You're building a training camp, a retreat, a launching pad for future generations coming out of your address to the world. Think of that. Oh, I pray, and this is one of my fears, that we don't get into this mindset of, well, I guess, you know, I grow up, I buy a house, I have kids, I live, I retire, I die. I'm afraid that America thinks like that now. Do we not have the target of achieving something eternal? Will your life and my life matter after we're gone? You say, well, you know what? Who cares? Well, listen, will your life and my life matter when we stand before God? Can you and I say this morning, I'm just simply existing. It's tough enough. That's not good. Is your life challenging? Are you on the brink, oh Lord, please, of something awesome for God? Yes, you have your job. Yes, you have your family. Yes, you have your hobbies and all that stuff. But those things technically in your heart, in your passion, your logos, pathos, ethos, really, number one is God? And everything you're doing is for the Lord? Is that the target? I pray it's your target. I was asked recently if I would consider being on a certain Christian television program. My first thought was, no way. And the Lord convicted me and said, I'm giving you an opportunity to speak truth in the light of all that stuff. Speak it. Jack, you call me Lord, Lord, then do the things I say. Yes, sir. Why? Because he's one on our list. The third thing we see under this is, what are we going to build? A home that cannot be moved. Jesus said, because it was founded upon the rock. This is beautiful. And I want these images to stick in your mind here. It's beautiful. When he speaks about the rock, founded upon the rock. I wrote this down in my notes, and I hope it ministers to you. This is personal. Things that happen to a house or houses. And look at that thing taking that wave. I would have liked to have seen that wave before it hit. But look at that lighthouse. Is it getting wet? It's okay to get wet. But is it falling down? No, it's not going to fall down. But listen. Things that happen to houses. I'm talking about a physical house. Number one, earthquakes. We live in California. Fires. We live in California. Floods. We live in California. Winds. We live in California. Termites. Yep. Thieves. Oh, yeah. and then getting your house toilet papered. That's what happens in Southern California. That's what happens in my house in Southern California. Things that happen to houses. I can live with all that. I can recover from all of that. It's the physical stuff. You can repair and remodel. Things that happen to homes. Things that happen to homes. Carelessness, lovelessness, thoughtlessness, busyness, no more affection, no fun, no more craziness, you know? No peace, no rest. See, the other stuff you can fix. The latter list only comes from Christ dwelling in a house. The home becomes a war zone. It's the soul, the spirit of a home. But thanks be to God, we can have our homes remodeled by the love of God and by the word of God. And so, third point this morning, we need to hurry, do it yourself. Number three, and we'll end with this, verse 49. Where are we going to build it? Where are we going to build it? Verse 49. But he who heard and did not, or did nothing, is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Every house, every home built looks the same, my friend, from the ground up. I don't mean they're exactly the same by appearance, but they have a mailbox, they have a door, they've got a driveway, they've got a walkway, they've got windows, they've got a roof on it. Every house looks the same in that respect, but what's beneath the house is altogether different. Is it firm? Is it strong? Is it secure? Is it stable? Is it unstable? Is it weak? Is it shaky? What is your home? If God was to send an evaluator to your house physically, he would come to a conclusion. And what I'm saying this morning is God looks into our homes and looks into our lives, and he establishes a value based upon the foundation of our homes spiritually. Is it a spiritual, godly home? Is it real? Can someone benefit by being involved and knowing our homes? Sadly, people don't care much anymore about what's not seen regarding the foundation. The fool says he'll build it anywhere. Any place will do. Look at verse 49. A fool says anywhere will do. It says, but he heard and did nothing. He listened to what Jesus said. He heard it, did nothing. He didn't apply it. He went to church on Sunday. Went home and did nothing. I got news for you guys. I don't want to digress too much. You and I live, obviously, in Southern California. Do you know how spoiled we are? We are spoiled rotten spiritually. You want to know why? In fact, think about this. What is it, like 12 miles from here is Greg Laurie's church. Pastor David is less than 2 miles from here. Pastor Raul Reese is 4 miles from here. That's just Calvary Chapels. There's wonderful churches just down the street from here. Wonderful churches, great works of God. Over the hill, EV Free, where Chuck Swindoll used to be. Great church of God, wonderful work of God. Great works going on everywhere. And you know what? The Southern California Christian better be careful. For this one reason. We come to church and we put the pastor on a performance scale. How was he today? Oh, did you go to first or second? He was a little off at first, but he was on at second. Oh, you know what? Oh, did you go to that one service? Oh, that guy was so funny. Or did you go to that one? Oh, I went over to that one. Oh boy, it was fire and brimstone. Oh, I went over to this one because, and I went over that, and everything, it's like a parade, like New Year's Day. Not. God has flooded this area to preach the word of God. And listen, the pastors are not on display. It is not a show. The word of God is going out, and you know who is listening is the church that attends, and they better be putting it into practice rather than grading how the sermon went down. We will be held accountable. We are critiquing, was it funny? Was it long? Was it short? Was it this? Was it that? When in reality, every time one of these men of God preached the word of God, the Lord is holding us accountable for what we hear and what we know. It has nothing to do with the messenger. It has to do with God the giver and we the receiver. This is a serious thing. A fool says, well, anything I do, it doesn't matter. Two things strike me about what Jesus is saying in verse 49 as impossible and insane. Why would anyone build a house without a foundation? You know, people do that. They don't live in it. They sell it quick. Why would anyone not listen to Jesus before they build? Are you going to get married soon? Are you going to have a kid soon? Why would you not listen to Jesus about your life? He made life. Oh, I don't believe in God. You will sooner or later. I highly recommend sooner. Imagine for a moment if this building could part open and Adolf Hitler could stick his face through the roof. You know what he would say? Love God with all your heart. I was wrong. Can you imagine if Chuck Darwin stuck his face through the roof? He would say, boy, did I make a big mistake. You know what? Everyone who dies, their theology is right on right now. I don't believe in God. That man dies. Trust me, if he could come back, he would say, I believe. Everyone who's dead's got correct theology. What about now? This is very critical. Why would someone build a house without a foundation? And why would they not listen to Jesus, the giver of life? Seemingly, it's impossible that somebody would do that. But they do. It's insane. It is possible, see, my friend, to build a house without a foundation. That's the scary thing about it, is it is possible. Maybe for show, maybe for looks, maybe to impress other people. Maybe because you're really into doing it yourself. You have this amazing thing. Our lives are like houses and homes. At first glance, they look awesome. What a beautiful home. Look at that house. And second look, closer look. Well, that's a pretty nice house. See, from the road, it looks amazing. You get closer, and there's a little bit of crack, needs some painting. You enter into the house, and you hear things like, well, it needs some work. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, he says, for the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, the word. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside into fables. And see, you and I are being sold a bill of goods. We need this, and you got to have that. And you'll never be a real successful believer or a real successful citizen unless you have this or unless you have that. Be careful.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Do It Yourself. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, Pastor Jack, as a congregation, including our audience on the radio, by the way, we're pretty excited to start this one-year Bible experience. Can you give us a quick idea of what the one-year Bible is all about?
Yeah, listen, first of all, the one-year Bible, I'll explain in a moment. The one-year Bible is like having salt and pepper on a steak.
What do you mean by that?
And what I mean by that is this. The steak is your study Bible. Everyone should have a Bible that is a study Bible where they go through their Bible and they make notes and they get involved in their study Bible. The one-year Bible is the salt and pepper. And that is, this is a great way of keeping, first of all, our church, which is large, everybody on the same page every day of the year. But also this, a lot of people have never read the Bible all the way through. And this is a great discipline to do that because you get Old Testament, you get New Testament, you get Psalms, and you get Proverbs every day. And so I got to tell you, just for an example, in one of our men's groups just recently, a young man stood up. He's a police officer, 30 years of age. Uh-huh. He said, hey, everybody, I just want you to know, my wife and I started the one-year Bible last year, and our marriage, our relationship, and our Christianity has never been stronger because we're on the same page. And that's the key. The one-year Bible puts a family, a church, a nation on the same page.
Ooh, that's good stuff.
So it's not to take the place of your Bible study. That's what your personal Bible's for. But a family one-year Bible, that's why we do it, Davey. And we've been doing it, by the way, for nearly three decades. It's awesome as a church. It keeps people on the same page together. And there's great blessings always in the reading of God's Word.
So you can pick up your copy of the one-year Bible at jackhibbs.com. It's our December book of the month, and you can get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.